This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education, by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, our next guest is a climate activist, a communication strategist, and combines the two to work with the content industry when it comes to climate change and how it's portrayed on the big screen, on the little screen, really on streaming everywhere there is content. So delighted to bring in Anna Jane Joyner. She is the founder of the nonprofit Good Energy. She's released a playbook for screenwriting in the age of climate change. And we do want to point out Bloomberg Philanthropies, the philanthropy arm of Bloomberg LP, which of course is owned by Michael R. Bloomberg, provides support for good energy initiatives. And Anna Jane joins us via Zoom from Alabama. Anna Jane, so great to have you here with Tim and myself. How are you? And tell us a little bit about what you all are doing.
So great to be here. Thank you for having me. Good Energy was created to support TV and film writers and other content creators to portray climate in television and film, particularly scripted television and film. And that is because there is almost none, no climate portrayal, very little currently happening, and we want to dramatically change that.
What is climate portrayal when you look up in terms of mainstream media? When you look up at the screen and you see the way that stories are being told, what story is missing right there when it comes to the climate?
Yeah, well, first of all, pretty much any story. We worked with USC's Media Impact Project to do an analysis of how often climate is being portrayed in scripted television and film. And it is 2.8% between 2016 and 2020. And that includes 36 adjacent keywords like solar panels and sea level rise. So it really looks at not only the terms associated with climate change, but all these adjacent conversations that could indicate that climate is being portrayed. And that is far too low for the fact that we are overwhelmingly experiencing it and feeling it in our real lives. And if characters were alive in our real world, would be as well. And that should be reflected in our stories. But we talk about it really across a spectrum, everything from just it casually and kind of authentically coming up in a conversation for shows that are already on air to more kind of full on in depth films or shows where climate is a major part of the character driver plot.
But Anjan, I want to understand how these stories are how you'd like to see these stories and these narratives woven into what's existing and what's coming. Because I think it's fair to say it would be a misconception to think that it would be your hope for these stories to be about climate change. What you're saying is you just need to see representation of the issues in some way or in some accurate portrayal in what's out there, in what's coming. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a story about sea level rise or a story about alternative energy, right?
Absolutely. Of course, we do want to see more climate-focused stories, but really what we're talking about is just an honest reflection of the world that we're living in. on screen, and that one of the screenwriters that has been an advisor to us and is one of the few who's actually written climate stories and The Handmaid's Tale and Scott Zeeburn's new Apple Plus show Extrapolations, which will be coming out next year. Her name is Dorothy Fortenberry, and she has this great line that if your story doesn't have climate in it, it's science fiction. And what we're seeing is this very strange divorce between the films and the shows that we love and the worlds of those stories and the world that we actually live in. And, you know, all, you know, 40% of Americans, according to Washington Post, live in a county that experienced a climate disaster last year. And, you know, we're all physically feeling the differences, we're emotionally and psychologically feeling the differences, and we need to see those experiences reflected to us on screen. That's what a lot of historians think, that that's why human beings started telling stories, was to process kind of the hard, difficult, you know, tragedies and realities of being alive. And yet we don't have that way of processing emotion, but also helping us to envision a better future in our stories. And that's a really big problem.
I mean, and Jane, it's so important when we, you know, we talk about, right, this conflict that we are right now in terms of social media. So many people are getting their news from social media. There's so much misinformation out there. And, you know, so we think about all the content that's out there. And while it may be, you know, entertainment, it is very influential in terms of shaping the public narrative. Tell me how that kind of has come into your thinking with all of this.
Oh, 100%. As someone, I've been working in the climate space since it's the only thing I've ever done as an adult. I'm coming up on 15 years. And there's, you know, of course, creatively and as a human, I really want to see more of these stories. I live on the Gulf Coast where, you know, it's very harrowing, increasingly harrowing because of climate. So I want to see more of those stories just because I'm a human being and needs to see my experience reflected in on screen. But right, also from a strategy perspective, you know, we know that stories are way, way more effective at moving people emotionally than data and facts. And, you know, if science and facts were going to help us win on climate change, that would have happened a long time ago. But what we've really been missing are stories that can really move us emotionally across a lot of different emotions. You know, right, we need stories that help give us courage, stories that help process grief and anxiety. And we really just don't have any right now.
We're going to do a little bit of news, but we'll come back and continue. And we want to kind of pick your brain on, like, who's doing it well, maybe who hasn't, in terms of climate change and weaving it into, you know, a genre or a storyline. I'm really, really curious about that. And I've thought about this with masks, you know, seeing TV and movies with masks, like that has been kind of important to me.
It's weird for me to see them without masks.
Yes.
Like I'm watching, you know, new episodes of things and there are no masks there. I'm like, okay, where is everybody right now?
When cyber criminals strike, the difference between a catastrophic event and resilience is preparedness. Finance leaders who plan ahead can thwart the damage posed by ransomware. Yet in a recent EY poll, only 23% of directors expressed confidence in their organization's ability to respond to a ransomware attack. Cyber preparedness is just one facet of the complex risk landscape finance leaders face every day. Now more than ever, it's vital to keep ahead of developments. Cybercrime, macroeconomic conditions, ESG reporting. You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. By understanding your risk, you can make your business resilient to challenges on the road ahead. What's more, you can turn those risks into opportunities. EY helps CFOs, boards, and audit committees see beyond the numbers to uncover the critical insights that make their organizations resilient, even in an ever-shifting landscape. For more insights that matter, visit ey.com/beyondthenumbers.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing. The passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at stiefel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stiefel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
I want to get back to our guest. Still with us is Anna Jane Joyner. She's founder and director of Good Energy, and we've been talking about the playbook for screenwriting in the age of climate change. She is still with us on Zoom from Alabama. We mentioned Bloomberg Philanthropy is the philanthropic arm of Bloomberg LP, owned by Michael Bloomberg, provides support for Good Energy initiatives. So, Anna Jane, so you see a lot of content, you work with a lot of providers. Who's done it really well?
Yeah, I would say... we are actually about to release data this summer that shows which different streamers and cable and networks have the highest percentages of climate mentions and portrayals. They're all very low, but we'll be able to see through that. But I mean, some of the stories that come to mind that I really loved, Madam Secretary, which did a whole episode, three episode arc on climate, and just had a really beautiful story about a family, a kind of a father-daughter relationship that was very emotional. And then also a climate migration story that was very powerful. So I think they did an exceptionally good job on that show. And then probably one of my other favorites, where it was a more in-depth storyline, is Big Little Lies did a kind of a B story on climate anxiety. A little girl suffers from climate anxiety. And it was just done in a way that was, one, funny, like it took, you know, a comedic approach, but also I was following the Twitter conversation when that was happening. And so many people were responding like, oh my God, I didn't know that other people were experiencing this anxiety. You know, this little girl represents how I'm feeling. And that is like the great power of film, is it validates our emotions. And that allows us to be, have more agency and courage and knowing that we're not alone. And then I love it when it just kind of comes up in passing conversation. And we know from working with climate psychologists that's really important to validating the audience as
all right.
well.
So talk to me about Don't Look Up. Like, did they do it well? How did you take that? I mean, it was kind of dark, to say the least. I feel like it was just an interesting take on it. And it's a movie actually I like, but it was disturbing. How did you feel about that?
I mean, I personally love the movie. I think that, one, it's just so well written.
Did you work with them?
I didn't. I helped support a little bit here, but not in depth with that movie, no.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I thought it just from a writing perspective, it clearly showed that you can do this in a way that is very entertaining and comedic. And that's a big hurdle. We spoke to over 100 TV and film writers to inform the playbook. And that was one of the big hurdles, is feeling like you can't write about it in a way that isn't preachy and didactic. So I'm really glad that they opened that door. It also proved that you can make a lot of money off of climate focused stories, which helps open the doors to more content. And then of course, like, we need another big hurdle we encountered in our research is that writers were associating climate stories with apocalypse stories. So in their mind, there wasn't a difference. And that's the major purpose of the playbook, is to really open up the menu of possibilities. And of course, Don't Look Up is an apocalypse story. And we want apocalypse stories in the sense they show us where we don't want to go. But that can't be the only story we're seeing on screen. We also need stories of where we do want to go and how we're experiencing it now, and a much bigger variety of the kinds of stories.
It's interesting that you talk about it with that framing, Anna Jane, because Carol and I were talking during the break, and I mentioned to her, you know, I think with entertainment, we want to escape. And you know, one challenge I see with presenting storylines like this is this is a very depressing thing for a lot of people to talk about. And it does, I think, evoke a lot of anxiety in people. So how do you do this in a way that doesn't leave people thinking to themselves, well, this wasn't escapism for me?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are lots of ways. That's another hurdle we definitely came up against. I think for one, that's not true for all audiences. Like we see from Handmaid's Tale, from Squid Game, that there's a lot of really content that does really, really well, that isn't just, kind of positive comedic escapism. So we push back against the idea that that's the only kind of entertainment that does well. But on the flip side, you can weave climate into stories that are super, kind of fun and escapism. It's happening in our real lives, and there's still comedy and drama and absurdity and romance in our actual lives. And so I think that any story, regardless of whether or not it's a comedy or a dramedy or a horror show or any number of genres, should be able to weave this into the fabric of the story that reflects our actual world and our actual experience. And there are lots of ways to do that comedically and kind of more lighthearted. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia did a hilarious episode on climate change. The Politician on Netflix had a whole season where climate was a major driver, and it was super funny and very well received by audiences. So there's good examples. There's not enough of them, but there are some good examples of it coming up in a more lighthearted way, in addition to the more kind of serious and somber sort of psychologically driven ways.
And Jan, I'm curious too, how busy are you? How often are people reaching out to you to say, like, here's what we're thinking of doing. Like, how can you advise us? And I'm just curious about that, because it just kind of speaks to the uptick in people saying, wait, we've got to incorporate this in somehow.
Yeah, we've had a really positive reception, for sure. We started piloting this project in 2019, which unfortunately was the year where the fires were really, really bad. A lot of the writers that we've spoken to and work with have had to evacuate. They're experiencing climate. They have a lot of anxiety about climate. So I think that there's a much bigger appetite and openness in the industry itself, which is, not great for climate, but it's good for telling more stories about it. And we are very busy. There's a lot of, and this isn't like a kind of other big social issues like war or, women's rights that have hundreds of different films or shows that have tackled those issues. So there's some precedent, and there's something to go, to inspire or give you guidance and telling your own stories. And because climate is just so new and there's so little of it, there is a lot of an interest in support on how, our hope is that we work ourselves out of business and people, this takes off and then there's no need for additional guidance. But right now there is.
Well, we came back from Milken and everybody was talking ESG and, certainly talking about the environment and just all of those
And it didn't rain
aspects.
At all when we were at Milken, because it never rains in California.
It never rains in California. Anna Jane, thank you so much. Really enlightening to talk with you. Anna Jane Joyner, founder of the nonprofit Good Energy, a playbook for screenwriting in the age of climate change.
Bloomberg Philanthropies, the philanthropic arm of Bloomberg LP, does provide support for Good Energy's initiatives.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.